What a joy and a privilege to be back. We have so many precious memories of being here in this place. And even right now, I just feel the presence of God here. Wow. It's amazing. Thank you for inviting us to come back. Jenny and I have been on a very adventurous journey, even since we were here last year, working in Africa, in Europe. Now we're back here. We'll be here for one more week, and then we're going back to Denmark for the summer. When it starts to get cold, we fly to Africa. I would like to open a window before I give you a word this morning. A window so you can see a glimpse of what's going on in Africa right now. And I believe that we are standing on a brink of a worldwide revival that the world has never seen before. I know we hear so much negative news, but I'm here to tell you that God is moving. And we are seeing a move of God in the Muslim world that has never, ever happened before. Do you know that millions of Muslims are turning to Jesus right now in our world? Have you heard that? There's another story than the negative that's taking place. And the one who said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, he is still on the throne. Amen? Within the last year, we have listed some of the most amazing stories of what's happening in Muslim communities in our country, Tanzania, right now, and it's never happened before. We have been traveling, Jenny and I, with a man whom God has called. He has like a call of the Apostle Paul over his life. He met Jesus when he was very young. He was trained to become a Muslim priest in Tanzania. His dad was one of the most prominent Muslim imams in the western part of Tanzania. And he decided that his son would be a Muslim imam. He sent him to the Quran school when he was 5 years old. His name was Ramazan. When he was 15 years old, he decided that he wanted to learn to read and write, because usually the people who train to become Muslims imam only know the Arabic and can cite the Quran in Arabic. So he'd never learned to read and write when he was 15 years old. So he decided to join an elementary school. So all the rest were about 6, 7 years old, and this guy, he was 15 years old, and he started in grade 1. You can just imagine. But he told me he won all the races in class 1. And he continued the next 7 years, go early in the morning to a friend's house, because it had to be kept a secret from his parents. Changed into a school uniform, went to the elementary school, learned to read and write. And in the afternoon, he went back to the home, changed to his normal clothes, went to the Quran school, and when he returned home in the evenings, he could tell his parents, I've just been at the Quran school. And until he was 22, this went on. When he was 22 years old, he had an encounter with Jesus. In the night, Jesus appeared to him when he was sleeping on his bed. And he was dressed in a white robe, and his eyes were shining like fire, he said. And Jesus said, Ramadan, you have served Satan long enough. Now it's time to serve me. But he chased Jesus away and cursed him with Islamic curses. The same thing happened the second evening, and he did the same. And the third evening, Jesus appeared with 2 angels, one called Michael and the other called Gabriel. And Jesus said the same. But he managed to chase Jesus away and the angels. The next morning, he told his dad that he was having these nightly appearances. And his dad gathered all the imams of the area, and they prayed over him and drove out those evil spirits, the jinns, they said. And then his dad said, you will not have these nightly visits any longer. But the very next day, when he was walking with his friends on the streets of a city, Jesus appeared to him physically. He saw him, but his friends didn't see him or hear him. And Jesus said exactly the same thing. You have served Satan long enough. It's time to serve me. So he told his friends, I can't go to town. I have to go home and do something. And he went home and he went into a friend and told his friend, can you take me to a pastor? And they took him to this pastor and he talked with him, but he didn't really dare to tell why he came and what he had experienced. So he left the pastor, and about a few yards out of his house, Jesus appeared to him once again physically and said, Ramadan, you didn't tell the pastor why you came. Go back. So he went back and he told the pastor, actually, I came to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior and Messiah. And he prayed for him and he accepted Jesus. And now he went home, and his dad was standing in the doorway. And when he saw his son was coming home, he said, stop, Ramadan. I can see you have become a Christian. And to make a very long story short, the rumors got around in the whole area that the son of the imam has become a Christian. So that it was an embarrassment to the father. So he gathered people and told them, catch my son, bring him home, dead or alive, tie him up. And they brought him home and they tied him up. And he gathered the imams of the area, and each came with a big stick. And the dad started beating him. And told him, I'm going to beat you until you come back to Allah and leave Jesus. And his son said, Dad, I'm never going back. I have met Jesus. And he beat him up until the stick broke. And the next imam took over. And the next, and the next. And all of them beat him up. So the dad got so angry because he continued to say, I'm not coming back. They brought in a big log and untied his hands. And his dad went out and got a machete. He said, son, I'm going to cut your fingers one by one until you come back to Jesus. So he put his hand on the log and he lifted the machete and cut a tip of his little finger. And Ramadan said, Dad, I have met Jesus. I'm not coming back. And he cut the next tip of the next finger. And he said the same, I'm not coming back. And the imam, who was next in charge in the whole area, interfered. And he said to his dad, if your son is not coming back after all what you've done to him and this beating, it's because he had tasted honey that is so sweet that nothing will compare to it. He will never come back. And if you continue torturing your son, you'll end up killing him here. I'm going to report you to the police if you continue. So the dad got scared and then untied him and he ran away. And went into a Christian home, and they called in a doctor, and they came and gave him first aid. And he had to flee from the area, came into a refugee camp, met Jesus again, was baptized. Then a pastor came along after he'd been there 6 months, and he felt that he should help him to come to a Bible college, and paid for him, and he came to Bible college for 3 years. Since that day, God has been using this man, who now is called Ezra, traveling around, telling people about Jesus. He's doing radio programs. And it happens, people would call him from over the country. A woman called him from the city we live in and said, my husband wants to talk to you. He has some questions. Could you come and visit us? And he was like the archbishop of all the imams in the area. And he came and he led him to Christ. And he told him, come back next week. I'll bring 5 more imams and come. And he brought Arabic Bibles, and out of the scripture, Jesus appeared to them. And they all accepted Jesus. And he was called to the southern part of Tanzania. And imams there said, come, we have so many questions about your programs. And he traveled down 2 days, came into a mosque where 50 imams were gathered from the whole area. And they asked questions, and he answered questions, and he told them about Jesus. At the end of the day, the leading imam, he said, if this is true, what you have been telling us, how can I accept this Jesus of yours as my Lord and Savior and Messiah. And Ezra told him, come forward, I'll pray for you. But then the 49 other imams said, if our leader wants to become a follower of Jesus, so do we. So all of them, 50 imams in a mosque, accepted Jesus in one day. I tell you, this has never happened before. Right now, there are hundreds of imams accepting Jesus, and thousands of Muslims are accepting Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And they're doing it through just getting together and reading the Bible through Discover Bible Studies. If you Google it, you'll see this, or how they do it. They just ask questions about who is this man, and Jesus appears, and they receive him. Five women in a mosque in Tanga received Jesus, and now they have turned their mosque into a church. And it's happening all over the world. When Ezra decided to go home, he hadn't been home for so many years, and in 2017, he said, I'm going to go home to see my dad. And when his dad was standing in his doorway and saw, it was like the prodigal son, you know, that scene, saw his son coming. As soon as his son came, while he was still standing at the doorstep, his father, the mighty imam, said, son, I am ready to receive your Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And when we were traveling with him, we've been traveling thousands of kilometers with him, and we would often hear him call his dad from the car, and the African way, he would say, praise the Lord. And we could hear this former imam saying, praise be to Jesus, may the name of Jesus be glorified. You know, it's amazing what's happening right now. And we could tell you so many more stories. This is so exciting. And we've been sitting on the front seat of what's happening right now. Our car has broken down, I don't know how many times. But every time, we're sitting on the roadside 5 hours. And here was our guy, Ezra. While others are looking for fast food, he's looking for imams. Where can I find an imam to witness for, you know? And he's leading them to Jesus. It's an amazing thing that's happening. Because let me tell you, there are so many Muslims in the world today that are so fed up and tired of the killings, the hatred, the atrocities that are taking place all over the world, the terrorism, that they say, this is not the God we want to believe in. Do you know that in our world right now, there is a move of God that has never been before? Muslims are discovering Jesus as their Lord and Savior. A man called Joel Rosenberg, he says, Iran is fast becoming the first Islamic nation that is abandoning Islam and becoming a Christian nation. I don't know if you've heard that before. David Garrison, the author of A Wind in the House of Islam, he says, we are seeing right now that the Ayatollah Ali Khamenei is proving to be maybe the greatest evangelist in the history of Iran, because so many people are voting with their feet and are turning away from Islam right now. So what we don't know, what we don't hear in the news, there is a nation God is preparing for the mightiest revival that has ever happened in a Muslim country before. Dr. Homos Shariat, they call him the Billy Graham of Iran. He lives outside Iran, but he does radio programs, TV programs that are sent to Iran. He says, and I quote, millions of Muslims are leaving Islam as they watch the extremism of Iranian and ISIS leaders. I could continue telling you stories from now on until Christmas about what God is doing. And we are so excited. You know, for our point of view, it started 2013 when I was starting gathering leaders and pastors from all denominations in order to pray for our nation that was under attack of Islamic fundamentalists who started killing pastors, Catholic priests, and burning churches. And that is when God called me back. After being out of ministry for so many years, I never thought I'd be back. But then God called me and said, unite my people and pray for the nation. And then we started saying, it's time to love the Muslims. It's not the time to retaliate, but now is the time to show your enemies the love of God. And it's working, I can tell you. What Jesus said in Matthew 5 is still working. Amen? Wow. And Ezra, our friend, is only one. There are hundreds that God has taken out of their environment and sending them back. Another man is called Adam Haji Muhammad. He's a Somalian. And God took him from, his dad was one of the leaders of the Al-Shabaab in Mogadishu. But his wife got saved, received Jesus secretly. Then her husband found out and he killed the wife. But the son had already accepted Jesus through his mom. Now the son had found a girl he wanted to marry, and she was also a Christian. And when the dad found out, he killed the bride-to-be on the night before the wedding. Adam Haji Muhammad fled into the forest of Somalia, and the Al-Shabaab were after him. He succeeded fleeing to Kenya, where he is now. He has planted more than 18 underground churches in Somalia right now, and people are accepting Jesus. It's happening in Pakistan. It's happening on the border to Afghanistan, where the Taliban have been ruling for many years. There is no human force that can hold back the power of the gospel. God is still in control. We may hear negative things. We may see terrorism. But the end of the story has not been written yet. And I am so excited. We are so excited to be a part of what God is doing today. Woo! I can get excited. Just a little bit. Okay, I could tell you much more. I'd like to give you a scripture. And since we came in here, the theme through the worship, through your pastor's word, through what Jenny shared, has been about the glory. And I'd like to share just a verse from Isaiah 43, verse 7. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Do you know that we are created for his glory? Amen? Let's go to Matthew chapter 22. And I just want to read this one verse for you. You know the story. When the people came and asked Jesus the question if it's okay to pay taxes or not. And you remember what Jesus said? He said in verse 19, show me the coin used for paying tax. And they brought him a, it says here, a denarius. Show me the coin. And then he said, whose portrait is this? Or in other translation, whose image is this? I have a coin here. There's an image of someone called George Washington. Do you know it? So this is exactly the same. He says, who is? And they said, it's the emperor's, Caesar's. So Jesus said, well, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. And then he added, and give to God what belongs to God. Do you know there is a correspondence between what Jesus said here and what is written in Genesis chapter 1, where we read that God, he said, let us make man in our image. So he created man and woman in his image. So what he's saying is, look at this coin. There is a picture here. This is the picture of someone in this world. Give the money back to the guy whose image is on it. But turn the thing and think, you are created. Your image is not on a coin, but you are created in his image. For the glory of God. You know? I'm a photographer. I like to take pictures. I've been a safari guide in Africa more than 5 years, and I like close-ups of lions and animals and nature. I love taking pictures. Jamie and I were just on the way here through Yosemite, to Grand Canyon and Zion National Park, and we saw these pictures. So I collect pictures, and I am so fortunate that I have got a picture, believe it or not, of the most beautiful person who's ever been in this world. And I'm a collector, so I keep it. You want to see it? I don't want you to show it to everybody, because let me just show it to you. Can you?
That's right. Amen.
Would you like to see it? When you see this picture, who do you see? Do you see your Creator? You are created in His image. There's no one in this whole world like you. Look. Wow. Isn't it amazing? Dennis, look at it. Do you see God when you see your picture? The Bible says we are created in His image. It's time to get excited, isn't it? Wow. So whose image do you see? Can you see God? Now, we are called to reflect His glory. Can you see the reflection? We are created in His image so that we can reflect the glory of God, so they can see God in us. Wow! This is our calling, created for His glory. I just have to shine. Amen. It says in Hebrews chapter 1, the sun is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining the all things by His powerful word. The Passion Translation says that the sun is the dazzling radiance of God's splendor, the exact expression of God's true nature. Wow! I represent the one who created me. And wherever I go, I reflect His glory. The mirror doesn't do anything. The mirror doesn't pull itself up in the hair and say, I want to do something. There's no tears, no sweat. The mirror just reflects the glory. And God has called us to reflect His glory. We can all do that. Amen? He reflects, the Amplified says, the radiance and the only expression of the glory. The mirror reflects the rays of the sun. And in the same way, we can reflect His glory. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says, we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, and we are being transformed into His image and His everlasting, ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord. The Passion says, we all become like mirrors who brightly reflect the glory of God. I get excited. I could say amen now. God bless you. And you would have enough to meditate on this whole week, wouldn't you? But let's go to Genesis. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. I love this. Here it says, then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule. If you go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, and the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. What did God use when he created man? You know, isn't it amazing that he chose something that had absolutely no value and created the most valuable thing on this earth? If I were to ask you, I say, could I come and visit you this afternoon? I have a gift for you. I brought a bag of dust. I want to come and spread it all over your house. This is so valuable. Who would believe it? Who would say, welcome, Sven Axel? This is exactly what we need. Dust. God did not choose diamonds, no gold and silver. When he wanted to create man, he took the least valuable thing on this earth. Wow, the things we brush off our clothes, the things we brush off our shoes, we vacuum clean our houses to get rid of it. We don't want it, but God, he could use it. And if God could use dust, don't tell me he cannot use us. And he took the dust that nobody cared for, and he formed a sculpture. The head and nose and ears and hands and feet. He was a sculpture. Nothing happened until he breathed his breath, the Ruach of God, into his nostrils. And suddenly man came alive. And he put him in a garden, and he created this lovely garden and said, you're going to live for my glory, in this garden. You'll have everything you need. You don't need to work. You don't need to sweat. You don't need to do anything difficult. Just relax in the presence of your God. Eat the fruits and the trees and the vegetables. Yeah, and enjoy fellowship. With who? So God created animals. He created the giraffe. He created the elephant. He created all these animals and said, Adam, go ahead, have fellowship. So he went over to the giraffe. Give me a hug. The elephant. He sat down with the baboons. They didn't understand each other. And Adam went to bed at night. He was sad. And God came down at the door, at the dusk. And he saw his creation was sad. So he gave him a kind of a dosis. So he slept very well. And he did the first surgery. And you know what he did? He took out the rib. And he created a woman. I wish this had been on YouTube. When Adam woke up that morning, whoo! Let me tell you, in Africa, I usually ask, what is man created from? Dust. And I ask the women in the congregation, could you tell your husband and your men that? You come from dust. Hello. Don't think you're anything, you're dust. But when he created the woman, he took a better material. Yes, he did. So I usually tell the men, tell your women, you're created from a better material than I am. We need to respect them more, you know, and honor them more. Nobody said amen. And we know when God takes his breath away from us again, we return to dust. From dust to dust. And in between the from dust and to dust, we try to live our lives. But what is the most important thing between the A and the B? It's to reflect the glory of God. That's the meaning of our lives. It's not a matter of how much money you earn, how many degrees you can get, how nice houses we have. It's a matter of, can I reflect the glory of God while I'm here on earth? And this is what God has created us for. Amen? Now, after God had created man and woman, and they started communicating, they started experiencing love. Wow, this is why we call it a special garden. Some call it paradise. But you know what happened? The perfect life that God had intended for his creation, man ruined himself. When sin came in, the glory of God disappeared from man. The presence of God disappeared from the garden. And Adam and Eve were expelled from that garden, away from the glory. And since then, man has been without the glory of God. And I believe Adam would wake up in the mornings and think, oh, I wish we never had done what we did. Now, look at this. I have to work for my living, you know. But I think it ached God more than man, that God was aching because he lost fellowship with his creation. And God wanted to come back, and man wanted to come back. But I believe, as the fish, they are created to live in water, and the birds, they're created to fly up in the sky, man is created to live in the glory of God. If we take fish out of the water, they die. Birds down from the sky and put them in the water, they die. If we take man out of the glory of God, spiritually, he is dead. We need to come back to the glory. Then we'll be like the fish that swim in water, like the birds that fly in the air. We need to live in his glory. That's why we are created. Amen? I believe that God, he wants us back. So here is man, trying to come back to God, but there is a gap between God and men. And we got all kinds of religion. I usually tell people in Africa, I believe all religion are the same. They're all good, likewise good. Because religion is man trying to gap the bridge, building a bridge over to God. We do our good deeds, we fast, we give away our money, we try and help people we think will be justified, but no human effort or bridge can bridge that gap. And when God saw this, he had a plan, amen? And he did something. And since that day, man has wanted to come back to God. There was a man called Moses in the Bible. And one day he had a prayer. You read it in Exodus chapter 33, verse 18. He said, God, I want to see your glory. You know, he had a longing to come back to those days where the glory of God was so tangible. So, God, let me see your glory. And men or mankind have been shouting, crying, compelling, saying, God, we need to see your glory. Then God spoke and told him there was a place where he could see his glory. If we go to the same chapter, verse 21, God said, there is a place near me. You may stand on that rock. And I believe this is a prophecy of Jesus. When he said, if you want to see my glory, there's one place you're going to see my glory. It's on Jesus. Amen? Stand on the rock and you'll see my glory. And that's where God, when God sent Jesus, and on the cross, he bridged the gap. Hallelujah. This is so simple a child can understand it. This is the gospel. And in John 1, 14, you have this fantastic message about his incarnation. It says, the Word became flesh. He made his dwelling among us. And the result is, we have seen his glory. When Jesus came, he revealed the glory for mankind. Amen? The glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. We have seen his glory. In verse 18, it says, no one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. People are looking for God. They give him different kinds of names. But no one has ever seen him or had a personal relationship to him. But when Jesus came and reflected the glory of the Father, by knowing him, we now have seen the glory because we've seen God in his Son. So this is what God, he wants us to do, to accept Jesus. Now, I believe every human being is valuable. Tell your neighbor, you are more valuable than all the gold in the world. Do you know that? Wow. But we came from dust, from nothing. God is an expert in creating everything out of nothing. He created substance out of nothing. Now we're created valuable. But Satan came into the garden, and he came into our lives, and he's the thief that steals, kills, and destroys. And he takes a wonderful human being, and sin comes in, and we get destroyed. You know that? I have a piece of paper in my pocket. Just an ordinary piece of paper. It's greenish. You think I made it this morning? No, I can't make these. But it's a piece of paper. Let me take it as an illustration. God created you with value. You're worth something. But Satan saw, and he came, and he stole. And he started destroying this valuable thing that God had created. And when Satan had finished destroying us, throws us away, and here he comes. Now this piece of paper has no value anymore. Satan destroyed it. As human beings, after Satan has gripped us, we can feel as a piece of paper that has no value. But let me ask you, if I gave you this piece of paper, would you take it and throw it out in the trash bag? Why wouldn't you do that? No, this has no value. Who believes this has value? You believe you can even have a cup of coffee at Starbucks for this? $4.99, yes, you can. Well, who wants this piece of paper? Anybody needs it? Come and take it. But before you take it, let me say, when God unfolds our lives, no matter how much Satan has destroyed and stolen and taken from us, God sees the same value in you. God bless you. Our lives are destroyed. He crushed us. He threw us away. Sin came in and ruled over us. Satan ruled over us. But when God, he finds us, he sees the same value. Wow, I can get excited about the gospel, you know. And with so many people, there was a Mary who was a prostitute and her value was gone. She felt dirty, her life was over, but Jesus found her and he changed her life. There were so many people, a terrorist called Saul from Tarsus, you know. And Jesus got hold of that terrorist and he said, you have value. And each one of us this morning, we have value before God. And I want to encourage you, no matter how many people have despised you, how many people have been treading on you, how many people have been kicking you and told you you are worth nothing, God from heaven who created you, he sees the same value. Even though you've been through the roller coasters of life, you've been through the turbulent situations, your value is the same. And he gave his life just for you. Amen. I want to encourage you this morning and tell you that you are so valuable. God, He loves you so much. Even though you've gone through things in your life and you think, I lost it, I blew it, you know. There is no other message than the gospel that can give people hope again. Your company may have gone bankrupt. You may have lost your house. You maybe couldn't keep your marriage together. Failure after failure after failure in life. But this morning, God wants to tell you, you're valuable. I love you. And when He looks at you, He doesn't look at all the mistakes that you've made and we have made. He sees us as the one who can be whole in Christ. And this is the message we have to give to the world. You are unique. You're exceptional. There's no one else in this world just like you. There's no one like you. God sees the value in you. He wants you to know the glory you lost can come back. We can come back to the glory of God. Amen. You remember the story of they had an ark in Israel. And whenever the ark was present in the land, the glory of God was there. The presence of God was there. But one day there was a battle between the Philistines and the people of Israel. And the Philistines, they stole the ark of the Lord, of the covenant. And you remember the story? When someone fled from the war, from the battle, and came to tell the high priest Eli what had happened. And he said, the ark of the Lord has been stolen, deported. The same moment, his daughter-in-law, who was pregnant, gave birth to a child, and she called the child Ichabod, which means the glory of God is departed from the country. There's so many people who have tasted the glory of God, but no longer live in the glory. There's so much church history that tells a story how the glory of God came down and how God changed situations. Many of you would know the story from Azusa Street, in the beginning of the century, where the glory of God was so present that the children played hide and seek in the glory. You heard about that? The glory of God was so tangible. And this is what happens in revivals, when the glory of God comes down. And this is why there's difference between a Sunday and another Sunday. The difference is His presence. It's His glory, you know. And we cannot do anything to make it happen, but God does it. I remember once, I was standing in my church in Denmark, in Aalborg, as a pastor, and I was giving out communion. And I'd been speaking about catching the fire. And as soon as I touched the bread and was to give it out and pray over it, suddenly I was struck by the glory of God. And I fell down behind the altar. And I was unconscious. I was gone for more than 3 hours. And I felt as if one of these big trucks, a bulldozer, was driving over me, crushing me. And I cried and I cried. And when I looked up, I saw the glory of God. I've never seen it in that way before. And I started confessing my sins because the glory of God was so present. And I confessed all the sins I've never, ever done, just to be sure that I had nothing that was not confessed. And the greatest sin that I started confessing was the division in the body of Christ. And I cried for 3 hours because there was division in the body of Christ. When I woke up and came to myself, only my wife was there and another couple. I don't know how the service ended. It was late afternoon. They carried me home. For the next 3 weeks, I was out of my mind. We had a two-story house. I could not even walk up to the top story. I stayed in the basement. I lay on the floor for 3 weeks, the glory of the Lord was so heavy on me. When I came to church the first Sunday after this, a revival broke out like this. The glory was there. I stood up to speak. People had heard what happened. I couldn't speak. I just said, if any of you want to touch the glory, let's gather around the cross. We had a cross. And people started running over their chairs and benches, and hundreds of people, they came. And for the next hours, we just heard sobbing and sobbing and sobbing. People repenting of their sins. The glory of God was present. And I heard that God said, I am anointing you for revival. It was so tangible. But just a couple of years later, my wife died. And the candle went out, the light. And I forgot this. For many years, I think I told it last time I was here, I wasn't able to speak about revival or the glory of God. But it's come back. If you thought I was a little enthusiastic this morning, some years ago, there was nothing. I was dead. But God has revived something in me. And as I stand before you this morning, I proclaim, we are created for the glory of God. Go and shine for Jesus this morning and the rest of your life. Let the glory of God reflect from your life to others. And this will bring healing. This will bring hope. This will bring forgiveness of sins to the people that we go to. It's time for the glory of God to be revealed in His body. It's time for the glory of God to be released in our societies again. Hallelujah. I believe that we need to come back to the glory of God. And this will trigger a revival. And as I said before, I believe we're standing on the brink of one of the greatest revivals in the world. And I believe revival is coming to America. The glory of God is going to be revealed again, as in Azusa Street, as in the revivals you heard of in history, but it's going to be mightier than ever. And it's going to prepare the bride for the coming of the groom. Amen? Do you have a longing this morning? Has Satan stolen from you? Has he taken values from you? God is going to repay and give back the things that Satan has stolen. He's going to bring the glory back to us as His people. Amen? Do you want to come back and experience it? Amen? Could we stand?